Every Sunday of the year is a little Easter, a celebration of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And for this reason, very few liturgical celebrations take precedence over the normal Sunday observance. Last week, for example, the 8th of August was the Feast of St. Dominic, but it was not observed in the liturgy because it was a Sunday. However, some feasts in the calendar are always kept, even when they fall on a Sunday, because of their centrality to Christian faith and life. Christmas and the Octave of Christmas are prime examples. Among the other feasts in the liturgical year that are celebrated even on a Sunday are the birth of St. John the Baptist, the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, the exaltation of the Holy Cross, the days of All Saints and All Souls, and the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran, which is the Cathedral Church of Rome, and is therefore in precedence first among all the churches of the world after the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Also among the feasts celebrated even on a Sunday is today's solemnity of the Assumption of the Mother of God, body and soul, into heaven at the end of her life on earth. Theological and devotional accounts of Mary's Assumption are found as far back as the 3rd and 4th centuries. And from the 5th century, this feast was kept in the sacred liturgy, which in the Christian East is known as the Dormition of the Theotokos, or the falling asleep of the God-bearer. The New Testament makes no mention of Christ's mother after Pentecost, so Scripture is silent on Mary's life after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the church. But apostolic tradition does bear witness to St. Mary living in Ephesus with St. John the Evangelist until the end of her life, and then of her being taken into the direct presence of God, as were Enoch and Elijah in the Old Testament. Various traditions place Mary's Assumption as happening either in Ephesus or back at Jerusalem, but there is no consensus on the exact spot of the event, even though several churches stand at places associated with this mystery. My favorite of all those is the Abbey of the Dormition in Jerusalem. In the first years of the Protestant Reformation, belief in the Assumption of Mary remained common, including with Martin Luther. And many Protestant communities which still keep a liturgical calendar, like Anglicans and Lutherans, observe August 15th as the Feast of Mary, the Mother of the Lord. Even in the secular calendar of many countries, August the 15th is a public holiday on which shops and offices are closed. And in Italy, the Assumption is the traditional beginning of their long vacation called the Ferragosto. All of this means that for over 1600 years, August 15th has been acknowledged as a day on which something happened in the life of the Mother of the Lord Jesus, and it is remembered and celebrated in however confused or attenuated a fashion. And here we are doing it again. And even if today were not a Sunday, we would still be in church on the solemnity of the Assumption, because it is a holy day of obligation, treated like a Sunday, no matter what day of the week it falls on. But why? We keep this feast with solemnity, even on Sunday, because what happened to Mary at the end of her life is what will happen to all who are justified, sanctified, and glorified by the Lord Jesus. And so Mary shows us the way to the destiny we all hope for. In the collect of this Mass, we prayed just a few minutes ago, Almighty ever-living God, who assumed the Immaculate Virgin Mary, the mother of your Son, body and soul into heavenly glory, grant, we pray, that always attentive to the things that are above, we may merit to be sharers of her glory. In other words, Mary has gone ahead by God's grace to where we hope to follow. And this privilege was granted to her both because she was the first and greatest disciple of her divine Son, and because she is the vessel through whom the Word became flesh, making Mary the Ark of the New Covenant. And so in a few minutes, we will pray in the preface to the Canon of the Mass that today the Virgin Mother of God was assumed into heaven as the beginning and image of your church coming to perfection and as a sign of sure hope and comfort to your pilgrim people. Rightly, you would not allow her to see the corruption of the tomb, since from her own body she marvelously brought forth your incarnate Son, the author of all life. But if, like Mary, sharing the glory of the resurrected Lord Jesus is the goal or end for which we should strive, then what is the beginning of our journey? Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, answered that question for us when she said to Mary, then pregnant with the Word made flesh, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." Mary was blessed because she believed the Word of God, and so are we when we receive and adhere to the Word of God in the obedience of faith. By faith, we know that Mary is the woman promised in Genesis by God the Father at our fall from grace, the woman whose Son would defeat the serpent, our ancient enemy. Mary is the woman described in the book of Revelation as being clothed with the sun and wearing a crown of 12 stars, the woman whose Son would defeat the dragon, our ancient enemy. Mary is the woman who gave the world, through her obedience of faith, the Savior, whose victory is sung by the angels and saints in glory. Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his anointed. And Mary is the woman who already shares the eternal glory of the Christ, the Anointed One, who is both the Son of God and her Son. And because Christ summons all who believe in him to share his divine life by the grace of adoption, all who are in Christ become children of God his Father, and also children of Mary his Mother, who is therefore rightly called the Mother of the Church. And that, my friends, is why this feast is kept even on a Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Mary's assumption, you see, begins our participation in the glory of the resurrection, just as St. Paul described it to the Corinthians. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all died, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. That proper order began with Christ himself. And then the Lord Jesus raised his own Holy Mother to share his glory and to be an exemplar and intercessor for the church. Then finally, the proper order of the resurrection will be complete when all who have been made a new creation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus are raised on the last day. And the reality of our union with Christ now is demonstrated only by a life of authentic discipleship. Discipleship exemplified by Mary, who says to us of her Son, "Do whatever he tells you." We are, of course, able to do whatever Christ tells us, not by our own strength, but by his grace. Grace which is given to us through word and sacrament, especially when we devoutly receive his body and blood in the Most Holy Eucharist. After Holy Communion today, the Church will draw all of these strands together as we pray. Having received the sacrament of salvation, we ask you to grant, O Lord, that through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, whom you assumed into heaven, we may be brought to the glory of the resurrection through Christ our Lord.